Support for Veterans Corner on Veterans Corner Radio is made possible by M&M Printing and the Observer News of Ruskin. Hello and welcome to Veterans Corner Radio Podcast, information for and about veterans. For this edition of the podcast, Bill welcomes Duane Sarmiento, Commander-in-Chief of the Veterans of Foreign Wars for 2023 and 2024. Commander Sarmiento is a perfect example of someone who puts service above self. A 30-plus year member of the Legion, he is excited about the message he will be sharing as he spends about 300 nights on the road this next year. As a veteran of Desert Shield and Desert Storm, he is looking forward to reaching out to all veterans, but especially those who have served at that time. Here now is Bill Hodges with Veterans Corner Radio on Veterans Corner Radio Podcasts.
Welcome to Veterans Corner, a show dedicated to providing information to all those who have served our country's military and to their families. Now, here is your host, newspaper columnist, management trainer, and Air Force veteran, Bill Hodges.
Hi, I am Bill Hodges, and this is Veterans Corner Radio. And I have with me today the brand new commander of the Veterans of Foreign Wars, VFW, as many of us know them. The commander is Duane Sarmiento.
That's me.
He's got a big background, Desert Storm, Desert Shield. You were over there in the desert, right?
I was in Bahrain, yes. I was on ship in the Persian Gulf and in Bahrain. I'm a Navy man.
How many years did you serve in the service?
I did 8.5 years active duty, another 6 in reserves.
Okay. And what did you decide to do once you got out?
I became a police officer.
Really?
Yeah, I'm a retired police officer, yes.
Were you a CB in the military or?
No, I was an operations specialist in the Navy. I was a radar operator.
What made you decide to run for office in VFW? I understand that you'll get very few nights at home in the next 365 days.
That's a true statement, Bill. The last 2 years, I served as junior vice commander in chief and senior vice commander in chief. I was on the road about approximately call 275-280 days. As commander in chief, that's probably going to be over 300.
Wow. You know, it takes a commitment.
Yes.
And it's nice that we have people like yourself that are willing to make that commitment. Because without leadership, the people perish. And in our military organizations, it's so important to belong to at least one or more of them.
I wholeheartedly agree. And being on the road that much, I have to thank my wife of 31 years. She, you know what I mean? She, a lot of nights that I'm not home, obviously.
Actually, at the bottom of my notes, had a thing there that says, be sure to thank Ellen. So I agree with you, and that's very good. You got it in at the beginning. Maybe we'll do it again.
All right.
She deserves it.
Absolutely.
Tell us a little bit about the VFW. Why should someone join the VFW, and what do they have to be in order to be a member?
Let's take this one piece at a time, right? Let's talk about eligibility. Eligibility to be a member of VFW, we are chartered. We have a congressional charter. So we're chartered through Congress. So it isn't, we have to play by the rules that were established and Congress okayed. So to be a member, you had to serve overseas in a theater of operations, a theater of war, something. Now that extends even to now, the Korean Peninsula. If you serve in the Korean Peninsula today, you're eligible for VFW. Is that... that war has never ended. It's only a ceasefire.
Right.
For the last 70 years or 60-some years.
It's true. Yeah. I didn't serve in any of those areas. Cuban Missile Crisis, I did fly on bombers around the world, but we never landed, so we didn't get any credit for going anywhere.
And again, like I said, that's the eligibility end. Why belong to the Veterans of Foreign Wars? Again, I named the three pillars earlier. What we stand for, advocacy. I'm in Washington, D.C. now at our memorial building in my office, the Commander-in-Chief's office. We have representatives from all 50 states here speaking to legislators, pressing VFW and veteran issues. That's the advocacy. We do this on a national level. The post, and we call them departments, whether you're a state, we call it a department. They do this in the state houses all across the country. I mean, let's face it, as generous as Congress may be at times, sometimes they're stingy, and veterans get left behind. We press for the rights and the benefits for veterans. That's what we do, and I like to think that no one does it better. I'm not disparaging any other veteran service organization. I'm not. You know, the other pillar, assistance. When I say assistance, we're talking about dealing with the VA claims. The PAC Act was signed last year. VFW priority legislation. We spent a week sleeping on the Capitol after some elected officials changed their minds. A month earlier, it was all good. A month later, they changed their mind when it actually come to passing. A week sleeping on the steps to the Capitol saying, stop playing politics. Let's pass the PAC Act. And that has assisted hundreds of thousands of veterans to toxic exposure. Now, we have service officers around the country, literally around the world, that help through the VA process. And the best part about this, man, it's free. You see all these ads, and let's not confuse the lawsuit, the Camp Lejeune lawsuit. Obviously, when you sue the federal government, you go through the judicial process. But when we're filing claims, there's no reason for a veteran to go see a lawyer. We do this for free around the world. So nobody gets a cut of anything you earned.
I'm so glad you emphasized that. I do it all the time. I have people call me because of what I do. And they'll say, well, I'm thinking about taking it to my attorney because we're going to fight the VA. Well, the VA is not there to fight. The VA is there to work with.
And you're absolutely right. The VA, and it's all its faults. And I've talked to a generation of veterans older than me, obviously, and even two generations. And I hear VA horror stories. But those same veterans come back now and say, the VA is a different beast from healthcare and benefits. Now, obviously, it's two different sides. You got VA healthcare, which is one thing. Then the benefits side, when we're talking claims, it's two separate entities within the VA.
But we're led by one man who cares about veterans, finally.
Yes.
Secretary McDonough. He's a god as far as I'm concerned. I've watched how he works with people to make it happen.
I agree with you. I was supposed to have a meeting with Secretary McDonough today at 10:30. He has COVID. He came down with COVID.
Oh, no.
So that meeting was canceled, and I'm going to have to reschedule that. Secretary McDonough is great to the veterans groups. He's great to the VFW as far as giving his time. He showed up at our national convention, gave updates on what's happening in the Department of Veterans Affairs.
You know, it's important to have good leadership both within and without the VA. And your organization also, when I need somebody to speak on a particular subject, like the PAC Act, I was able to work with your organization and get a speaker to come and talk about it.
Well, you know what? We are very, that's the biggest piece of legislation passed this century for sure, and probably in decades for veterans. We are very proud of that. We will speak high and low on this. We were a huge part of this. I like to think, and hey, I might be a little biased, we were the driving force. So this is something we stand behind. This is something we're very proud of. You know what's funny? And I preach this when I talk to other veterans or I talk to my own people. I said, when President Biden signed the PAC Act, there were 10 people on the stage. Seven were family members of they were affected. Their loved ones have died. They were affected by toxic exposure. The other three were at the time was Commander-in-Chief Tim Borland from Arizona, the American Legion commander, and the DAV commander. That was it. Don't get me wrong, of the hundreds of veterans group, they were in the audience. But standing with the president were those three to show you the impact that the organizations have.
President Kelly wasn't there?
President
Kelly, MOAA?
He might have been in the audience. I know when you see the picture of who's standing behind the president around him. I mean, don't get me wrong, the audience was huge.
Sure.
But up there on this around the president's desk, it was only 10 people. Seven of the family and the three veterans organizations I just mentioned.
If I was thinking about joining the VFW, what way would I go about doing that?
Well, there's several ways. If you live near a post, a VFW post, you can always walk in and ask to join. You can go to our website, www.vfw.org/join. That's www.vfw.org/join. Now, I tell people all the time, you're going into a VFW. Now, we have over almost 6,000 posts around the world. Not all VFWs are the same. It's like buying a car. If you go into a VFW and you don't like it, you know, if it, unfortunately, if it's the what people think of when they think of VFWs, and that's not what you're looking for, find another one. Because there's ones out there doing great work, and they fit, you know, each one has their own little idiosyncrasies, and they each have their own fit in their communities. Find one that's going to work for you. Don't judge us all by one.
You know, that is a comment that I am so happy you made, because that happened to me. I went to a organization, and I was there for a little bit, and they weren't friendly. It wasn't great. I didn't see much benefit from it, so I just walked away. And it wasn't for 5 years that I tried again, a different unit of it. And God, they were friendly. They were beneficial. I got lots from it, and I joined immediately. And you're so right. Don't let somebody get you into one that you don't like and think it's everybody.
And there you go. Your firsthand experience of that. And I hear that a lot when I talk to members, to new members. I get that a lot. And you know, as I said new, I didn't say young. Not all young members are new.
That's true.
I was in Michigan last year at their convention, and I'm speaking, and this woman stands up and goes, because I was talking about new younger members. And she said, I'm the fighting grandma. I earned my eligibility at 58 years old in Iraq in 2010. That changed my whole speech, saying not all new members are young.
Well, I got out in 63, so that tells you something.
But I definitely ask to any listener out there, if you go to a VFW and it's not what you expect, please try another one. And if you go to a second or third one, you don't like it, then you know what? Try something else. But I assure you, they're not all the same. Everybody thinks of every veteran service organization as a geriatric gin joint, smoking, drinking, playing bingo. Yeah, some of them things, the bingo and stuff, they got to keep the lights on, right? Because every post acts like a franchise. You have a little franchise, you got to keep the lights on. You got to pay the gas bill. You got to do everything you got to do.
Right.
And if it takes bingo to do that, then so be it. But watch what they do in the community. See the community work they do.
We've got a good group over here in Ruskin, Florida. That's a great group. They've had these fish fries for years.
And that's part of the ones, hey, man, they're keeping the lights on. That's how they're keeping the lights on.
And it's very friendly. It's great. And they put on a Veterans Day parade every year. It's a very active post. So they locally listening to me, I would suggest you have a look at the VFW in Ruskin.
Sure. And that brings us to the third pillar of camaraderie. Those things are, you're bringing veterans together. Now, you were in the service. I was in the service. When you get out of the service and get into the civilian world, you miss something. Like, you miss the camaraderie. And I don't care if you're cutting up on each other, because you were in the Air Force, I was in the Navy, and Joe was in the Marines, and Bob was in the Coast Guard. That's just part of it. It's the camaraderie that we like. I was just at a post meeting. I live in New Jersey, and I was at my post meeting, and a newer member came in. He got out of Marine Corps in 2011. He just joined our post. He knew the post commander. That was all he knew. He worked with him. And he stepped in, and he said, and this was a month ago, he said, this is what was missing. He said, the camaraderie of fellow brothers and sisters that served, whether we were in different branches or not. He goes, I got out in 2011. This is what I was missing.
You know, somebody said, what makes servicemen or women different? And I said, well, I can't talk about the women because I wasn't one of those. But if you are a young person and you go into a barracks and you have 12 commodes along one wall and 12 commodes along another, no shelter, and you do your thing, it changes you.
Now, look, I was in the Navy. I slept in, and if anybody out there listens to the Navy, they know you're in a birthing area with 70 other men in a space that I know Air Force people come down and go, how do you live like this? You're right. It's just it's a bonding experience.
Holiday Inn was an outfit for us that we went on bivouac. Let me ask you one last question. I've got to go because time's running out. Is there something that I haven't asked you or something you take a minute to reiterate?
I like to reiterate to those listening that served overseas in a combat theater, whether Iraq, Afghanistan, Korea, wherever, in the Persian Gulf, Somalia, wherever overseas in a theater of operation, please consider the VFW. Your numbers matter. That's what, when we talk about advocacy, that's what people on Capitol Hill and people in your state house listen to. When you say we, the 1.5 million members of VFW in Auxiliary, that's what they're listening to. Or if I'm in Trenton, New Jersey, testifying in the state house, we, the 35,000 members of the VFW, all politics are local. That's what they listen to. Be part of it. I mean, for $35 a year or $45 a year, you waste more than that doing nonsense all year long. But it's just to be a part of the group.
Oh, and that is, again, going back to it, so important. I do want to make sure that you thank your communication staff, Rob Coulter and Randy Law.
Randy Law? Rob Couture and Randy Law are top-notch people.
They are so easy to work with, and I appreciate them so much. Ladies and gentlemen, my guest today has been VFW National Commander Duane Sarmiento. And Duane, thank you so much for being on the show, and I look forward to having you back.
Anytime you give me a holler. I'm sorry it took us so long to connect. I had a busy schedule.
Listen, 300 nights a year on a road, Ellen has to have some of those times.
I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're unique, you're special, and you're great. Tell yourself so often because you are. And we'll talk to you again very soon on Veterans Corner Radio.
You've been listening to Veterans Corner with your host, Air Force veteran Bill Hodges. The views expressed on this program are those of Bill and his guests and are opinions based on the best available information. In matters of law or governmental regulation, it will always be best to check with the appropriate agency. Thanks for listening, and we hope you'll join us for the next Veterans Corner.
Before we go, here's a quick final thought. Why not take a minute to follow or mark Veterans Corner Radio podcasts as a favorite? It's easy, and you'll be among the first to be notified when new episodes of the podcast are released. And thanks for listening to Veterans Corner Radio Podcasts.